My title this afternoon, God's Got You. God has got you. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for your manifest presence. We thank you for your plan for our lives. We thank you that this is none other than the house of God, Bethel, for you are indeed in this place. We ask, oh Lord, that you would minister on so many levels that the devil would know what hit him. God, in Jesus' name, set the captives free. For you said, you shall know the truth and you shall be made free. God, give us ears to hear what your spirit is speaking to our hearts. And God, let your word fall on good ground. And we thank you for it in advance, in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. God's got you. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, and also in the Gospel of Luke, there is found a story, and it's also found in Matthew's Gospel, but there's found a story of the woman with the issue of blood. You know that story? The Bible tells us Jesus is in a crowd heading to a certain place, a certain destination, in a certain direction. And a woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, the Bible says she had also suffered at the hands of many physicians to the point where she sought for a cure and found none. And instead of getting better, she actually grew worse. The Bible says that she at one point heard about Jesus. I love that. She heard about Jesus. And so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. And so he turned to the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? Who touched me? He asked. Everyone denied it. Luke's gospel tells us. Peter said, Master, this whole crowd is pressing against you. And somehow you're asking who touched me. But Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me. For I felt healing power go out from me. When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, so she had all intentions of staying hidden in the crowd. She didn't want to be seen. She didn't want to be noticed. The Bible says when she realized she couldn't stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. Then the whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction. Hallelujah. An incredible story, folks. Hallelujah. A wonderful story. Once she was an outcast because of her constant bleeding condition. This condition not only brought her poor health, but also made her ceremonially unclean, which meant she couldn't come into the house of God. She couldn't come into God's presence and worship him with the other believers, and thus unable to participate in the normal life of the community. It made her ashamed, isolated, if you will. Because of her condition, she was unclean, and if she came in contact with anyone else, they would have become unclean. She was spiritually unworthy, if you will. But this woman heard about Jesus. The word on the street at the time in Luke's gospel, chapter 6, verse 19, tells us that everyone was trying to touch Jesus. Everyone wanted to touch him because healing power went out from him and everyone was healed. Somebody say everyone. Everyone was healed. So this woman simply reaches out to Jesus. She reached out to him. in faith. And the Bible says instantly she was healed. And she knew it. Not only did the bleeding stop, but internally she felt and experienced the healing power of Jesus, never to be the same again. And folks like her, we were once outside the kingdom of God. We were scourged, diseased by sin, outcasts, unclean, spiritually unworthy, destined to spend an eternity in hell. But then one day you and I heard about a man named Jesus. Hallelujah to God Almighty. And in the same way, we reached out to Jesus because of our sinful condition in faith. We needed help. We needed a Savior. And because of his stripes, we too were healed. Hallelujah. Forgiven. Set free. Thank God. Aren't you glad today? Hallelujah. Luke's gospel tells us Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" And everyone denied it. You could preach a message on that alone. But Peter said, "Master, the whole crowd is pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." Everyone pressed against him, and they were merely being carried along with the crowd. But someone deliberately touched him. Are you with me? Someone deliberately touched him with a conscious, voluntary, dependent touch of faith, with all intent to make express contact with him and him alone. And they did, and he knew it. When we reach out in faith, hallelujah, completely dependent on him, he knows it. That's when power goes out from him. Power to save. Power to heal. Power to deliver. Power to transform. Power to lead. Power to anoint. Power to guide. Power to work miracles. Goes out from him when someone deliberately makes contact with Jesus in faith through prayer. Hallelujah. That's what we're seeing on Tuesday nights, folks, here in the house of God, as we begin to intercede and pray for those who have written in and sent in their prayer requests. Suddenly now, this woman is welcomed into the presence of God and among the people, accepted, healed, made whole. Why didn't Jesus just let this woman slip away with her healing? He very well could have. But the Lord wanted her to give glory to God in a testimony. He wanted her to know that she matters and is not just part of the crowd or the masses. He wanted her to testify that God cares and that he can in fact be trusted. He wanted her to know that she is his daughter, even though she may have been ostracized by others, that she belonged to him and that he recognized her as his child. This woman realized that she mattered to Jesus, that she mattered to the Lord. She trembled when she realized that the Lord cared and would not let her settle for just a touch. Folks, there are a lot of people that come to God just wanting a blessing, but not the blesser. But the Lord refuses to let you and I settle for that, because there is much more, folks. I said there's much more. He wants you and I to be worshipers, to have a living relationship with him, not some dead, dry religion. She fell to her knees and worshiped him. Then she began to testify to everyone of what the Lord had done for her. Then after years of being ostracized, she hears God call her his daughter. She came to him from behind at first, but now she comes to him face to face in his presence for the first time. He calls her forward before him. And now what God calls clean, no one has the right to call unclean. Hallelujah. It's God's desire that you and I be secure in Christ. He wants you to know that God's got you. Folks, our identity is in him and what he says about us. No matter what anyone else says, it doesn't matter what you may have been labeled in the past. Even if our own hearts condemn us, the Bible says he is greater than our hearts. Hallelujah. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Folks, I'm going to share some truth with you this afternoon because this is a teaching service. And if you get this, I guarantee you, your Christian experience will never be the same again. You will never be the same again, folks. You will never be the same again. There are four main points that I want to bring out to you today from this verse. First of all, her position, our position, our standing. And he said to her, "Daughter, daughter." This was a kind word which was designed, hear me, designed to inspire confidence and dissolve her fear. Designed to inspire confidence and dissolve her fear. It spoke of her position, her standing, and it speaks of ours as well, which is settled forever. Settled forever, folks. Eternally secured for the believer. Eternally secured for the believer. Not for the game player, folks. I'm talking about the believer this afternoon. Our position, our standing in Christ. For example, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6 says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." Folks, I am adopted. You are adopted. Romans 8:14 through 15 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father." Hallelujah. "I am accepted in the beloved." Ephesians 1:6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved." Folks, I am a child of God. You are a child of God. John 1:12 says, "But to all who believe him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." 1 John 3:1 says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children." And that is what we are. Folks, we are justified, righteous. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 quickly. I want you to see it for yourself. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Do you love God's word? Our position, our standing in Christ. Romans 5:1 and 2 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Our position, our standing, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 3:22 says we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. No charge can ever be laid out against us, folks, by Satan. No weapon formed against us can ever prosper. As a matter of fact, every tongue that rises against us to condemn us, that rises against us in judgment, the Bible says we condemn. For this is our inheritance. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Folks, I am sanctified, set apart by God. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Leviticus 20 verse 26 says, you must be holy because I, the Lord, am holy, for I have set you apart from all other people to be my very own. But it doesn't end there. You and I are the apple of his eye. Zechariah 2:8 says this, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, to the nations which plunder you, to those who would take advantage of you, those who would hold you captive, those who would seek to hurt you, for he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. Hallelujah. Folks, this is your position in Christ. This is your identity in him. This is your standing before him. He says, you are holy. I am holy unto the Lord. Deuteronomy 7:6, for you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. I am victorious in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror in him. If Christ, folks, is the head, get this picture. Pastor Carter's painted this picture for us numerous times. If Christ, the head of the body, has already crossed the finish line, you and I are in the body. If he's already won the victory, what does that mean? That means the body has already won the victory as well. Folks, we are already victorious. The story has already been told. If he wins, if he's won, we won too. Folks, it's already a done deal. We are more than conquerors. We are already victorious in Christ. Folks, you are saved. I am saved. John 10:9 says, Jesus said this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Hallelujah. You and I have been born again, born from above. We have a new life, a new heart, a new spirit. We are a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away and the new has come. I am a Christian. You are a Christian. It's essential. It's vital that you and I know what God has done, what he has already accomplished for us and who we are. For if we don't know, the enemy will pummel us with lies. Are you with me? He will pummel you. He will bombard you. He will berate you with an assault, an air assault on your mind with lies. I think of a young lady who came into our office. She's a Christian. And someone close to her had been pummeling her and feeding her and berating her and bombarding her with lies about her. Constantly, day in and day out, oppressing her, speaking lies over her, telling her she's less than what she is in Christ. We sat with her and began to go through the scriptures and began to talk about this very truth, who she is in Christ. And we challenged her. We gave her homework. We said, go home and begin to look up scriptures that tell you that you are beloved of God, that you're seated with him in heavenly places, that you're victorious in him, that you're his child, that you're justified, that you're righteous, that you're holy, that this is what God has accomplished, that you're on your way to heaven, that you belong to Jesus and that he belongs to you. You should have seen her the next time she walked into our office. She had a pep in her step. She almost floated in. And she sat down with us and she pulled out a handout, sheets upon sheets of scriptures with points, just like I'm sharing with you today, of who she is in Christ, folks. She began to lift our spirits. She began to preach to us. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Praise God. Folks, it's essential that you know that you are his child. That is your position. That is your standing. Jesus said, daughter. Or he would say to you, my son, to inspire confidence and to dispel all fear in your heart and mind. Secondly, he began to point out her faith. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. This woman's faith convinced her that just touching Jesus' clothes would bring healing. Faith meaning a firm persuasion, conviction, belief in the truth. Faith takes us in, folks, to the kingdom of God and the fullness of what God has promised. Unbelief keeps us out. Remember the children of Israel in the wilderness. That first generation failed to enter into the promised land because they refused to believe God, no matter what he had done and accomplished for them. So it kept them out of the fullness of God's blessing on their lives and what he had destined for them. So faith takes us into the promised land, folks, and unbelief keeps us out of the fullness of what God has promised you. Throughout our lives, hear me. Throughout our lives, the Holy Spirit endeavors to teach us, convince us, remind us, empower us to be who we already are in Christ. To be who we already are in Christ. He works in our lives, bringing us to the place where we believe what God says about us, no matter what our experience has been. Think about it this way. Imagine a child who's been an orphan and suddenly finds out they have an estranged grandfather who is a billionaire. And leaves them $100 million estate. So their grandpa is a billionaire. And upon his death, he leaves this child not only his billions, but $100 million estate. And he leaves a caretaker, a butler, there to find his estranged grandchild. And the butler finds that estranged grandchild, welcomes him into this $100 million estate, home, property, and begins to reveal to this child all that is his, all that his grandpa has left us, left him, telling him, you're taken care of. All your needs are taken care of. Welcome, welcome into the house. And this child walks in with rags. And suddenly, the caretaker, the butler begins to show this child a closet in his new room full of new clothes. And this child exchanges his rags for new clothes. But it doesn't end there. He takes the child into the kitchen, opens the pantry, and the pantry is as big as Costco. All you can eat. But doesn't end there. Takes the child to the shed, opens the shed, and here are mini bikes and all kinds of bicycles. Hallelujah. And skateboards. But doesn't end there. It just keeps going and going, and he's provided everything for this child. Folks, that orphan is you and I. All our needs have been taken care of. Everything that pertains to life and godliness has been provided for you and I. He's taken care of it all. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Go in faith. Your faith has made you well. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Hallelujah. So believe God. Continue to believe God. Thirdly, go in peace. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. What did he mean? Go knowing who you are. Knowing that God is for you and with you. That he is not angry with you. And that he cares about you. Metaphorically, the word peace here means peace of mind. Tranquility. Arising from reconciliation with God and a sense of divine favor. Let me say that again. This word peace, go in peace. This is what Jesus was saying to her, and this is what he's saying to you today. As you begin to grasp who you are in Christ and what he has accomplished for you and what your identity is in him, he says to you and I, go in peace. He wants you and I to have peace of mind, tranquility, which arises from a sense of reconciliation, from knowing that you have been reconciled to God, and a sense of divine favor. God's peace is independent of outside conditions and is a fruit of the Spirit and a real salvation experience with God. Jesus said in John 14:27, I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. and peace I give you. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. John 16, 33, he said this, I have told you all of this so you may have peace in me. Notice the contrast here. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Notice the contrast. Jesus gives us peace, and the world gives us trials and sorrows. Did you catch that? Hallelujah. Go in peace. Lastly, he spoke of her current condition, her current state. Be whole, be healed of your affliction. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. The King James puts it this way. It says, be whole of thy plague. Be whole of thy plague. Be whole, meaning continue to be whole. Because see, she was already healed by that point. Continue to be whole. She was already healed by that point. Of thy plague, meaning the disease, of thy scourge, for its reign over your life, its tyranny, its effects over your life is over. It spoke of her current condition, her current state. And it speaks of ours as well. For us, this means the power of sin has been broken. You can give him praise, folks. It is God's design that we know the riches of our inheritance as we walk with the Lord. We are learning how to enjoy and live this new life. We were once poor, but now we are rich in Christ. This is where our quality of life is affected. Hear me clearly. This determines our quality of life. Whether we choose to walk with God in righteousness and holiness or in sin and darkness. Jesus told her to continue to be whole, continue to walk and live in this newfound freedom from the scourge of her disease. And we must do no less. We must do the same. We are to live in the freedom that Christ gives from sin. Folks, in our condition and state, the Bible tells us that we are made partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says this, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by evil human desires. But not only that, in our present condition and state, we are being made holy. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says this, for by one offering he forever perfected forever perfected. We are holy, sanctified, forever perfected, those who are being made holy. Did you catch that? Forever perfected, those who are being made holy. There is a sanctifying work taking place in you and I. We are sanctified, set apart already in Christ. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ. But yet when you and I come to Jesus, character-wise, we're not really like Jesus, are we? So though our position in Christ may be here, seated with Christ in heavenly places, sanctified, set apart unto him, righteous, justified, on our way to heaven, seated with Christ in heavenly places, his children, yet character-wise, we're down here. And so throughout our lives, what is the Holy Spirit doing? Well, as I shared earlier, he's teaching us how to walk in this new identity in Christ, folks. He's teaching us not only that we are Christians, that that's not only our position and standing in Christ, but that right now, as Christians, we are learning how to walk like Christians. Are you with me? We're becoming more and more like Jesus, so that our current condition and state is being raised. Our quality of life is changing. We're becoming more and more like Jesus, so our current state and condition begins to match our position. Are you with me? So that we're not just Christians in name only, but that we're now beginning to live like Christians. Does that make sense? We're learning to accept God's truth, the truth of God's word. John 17, 17 says this: make them holy, sanctified by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. We're learning to think and act like a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We learned to follow the dictates of the old man, and now we're learning to live under the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're putting off the old man and its effects. We're learning how to let the Holy Spirit control our lives on a day-to-day basis. And as a result, he's producing this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I may be seated with Christ in heavenly places, but yet I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way, folks, to heaven. Jesus said this: in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Folks, we're learning how to walk in his victory every day. I may be victorious in Christ. That may be my position, my standing in him. But yet daily, I'm learning how to walk in that victory in every area of my life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Our condition will vary from day to day as we become more and more like Jesus. But our position does not. Our position doesn't change. Our current condition may change. Our current character and state may change. But our position in Christ doesn't change. That is secured. Somebody say secured. I will never be perfect. Yet in Christ, I am perfected and completed in him. That's awesome. This has everything to do with what kind of child I am as a member of God's family and what the nature of my walk is with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As this woman did, you and I have the responsibility to tell someone what the Lord has done for us. We must give glory to God. Like the psalmist in Psalm 56, verse 9 through 13. And I'll close here. My enemies will retreat. Whatever withstands you and I, whatever lies of the enemy, whatever stronghold, whatever comes against you and I, hallelujah, will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know. God is on my side. Do you know he's on your side? I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I will, oh God, offer sacrifice, a sacrifice of thanks for your help. For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, oh God, in your life-giving light. Give him thanks this afternoon. You are secure in Christ. God's got you. I said, God's got you. Would you bow your heads with me? Holy Spirit, I thank you for your word, which is indeed a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I thank you for everyone who has heard this word here in the house, those online and those that will hear it in the days ahead. I pray, oh God, would you use us now as we understand who we are in you and what you've accomplished to go into the enemy's camp and to take back what he's stolen from us. Would you use us, Lord, to help bring other people from the kingdom of darkness into your glorious kingdom of light? That your kingdom might advance in and through us to the glory, honor, and praise of your name. Thank you, Lord, for what you will do in the days ahead. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Let's stand and worship him. Hallelujah.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these incredible keys that you give us in your word, an understanding of why we can escape the voice of the condemner, why we are free to grow in the grace that you promise is ours in Christ. Why our hearts can be glad even in the midst of trial and difficulty. So Lord, we thank you with all of our heart today. Father, we bless you. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in this great salvation that you've given to us. Help us to share it with others, Lord, and not hold it inside to ourselves. Now, Lord, we thank you, God, for this great word today. Thank you for this incredible truth. We ask you, Lord God, to give us the grace and the strength, Lord, to live for you all the days of our lives and help us to grow in the grace that you have provided for us through your promises. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.